Hello, I'm Scott Soschnick.
I'm Evan Novi Williams.
And I'm Michael Barr, and this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we, sorry, it's just two letters, because it should be four people all together. It should be four letters in we, because me, you, Evan, and Medina,
What is he talking about?
I am excited.
Four horsemen.
We got a team.
Yes, we have a team, and there's always one person who's late to the locker room for practice, and today that would be you, Michael Barr.
I'm still confused about that whole we and the four
letters,
people,
we,
I'm trying to do math. I can't figure it out.
Anyway.
No, Medina, you're not confused. That's the thing. You're not the do not make that mistake. You are not confused.
Hey, we're going to explore the big money issues in the world of sports. We really are. So let's start with big gambling deals. NHL. The Devils, the 76ers, this is looking good. We're going to have a sports cafe. Oh, my goodness, this is going
to
be good.
I just want to see bars sitting. We really have to do this. Like, we have to go to one of these games and just sit in the gambling. I mean, you can't place the bet. Oh, yes.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can now. Yeah. You can. I was thinking, like, which one? Yes. I'm like, wait, where are we? We're Jersey. Yes, yeah. Jersey we can. we got to go with you. I could just see you, like, just chowing down, placing bets.
Are we
going to
make this? Are we all going to make this like a date where we all just go?
Well, I say yes, but I always harken back to the day where Eben was like a mile from your house and didn't let you know. So it's really hard for me to say whether Eben will be in or out.
Oh yeah, you were right there at the faux share, man. The Dimmick, man.
Did not call Michael Barr.
They have good burgers at the Dimmick. I love the burgers at the Dimmick.
This is what I want. I want to see Barr with his burger. And what do you like in the Georgia Southern game? What do you push the button because my hands are full of sauce?
What's the spread? What? But this is big. I mean,
the NHL followed the NBA. And I love these exclusive deals that aren't really exclusive. You get to say you're the official partner and all that. But the fact remains, the league can still go out and sign plenty of other deals.
Yeah, there's NHL signed a league-wide deal with MGM earlier this week. Teams are still allowed to do their own stuff, which we've seen with the Devils twice in the past week. It's similar to the NBA deal in that, as Scott said, it's not exclusive. You know, there will be other partners that partner with gambling houses and sports books that are going to partner with the NHL, just like there will be with the NBA. The NHL is going a little differently, though. We've talked about, you know, the integrity fees that baseball and basketball sought so much. NHL has distanced itself from that. They're not interested in that. The NBA's deal with MGM included a portion of buying that exclusive data. NHL did not have that.
Well, the NHL is going to own
the
that
NHL
data.
Is building its own data, not in the way that NFL is. They're not putting chips on players yet. They're doing a player tracking system.
But the NFL does have that with Sport Radar. They're just not releasing a lot of that data, specifically things like, I don't know, impact. You know, I'm not sure the NFL wants that data out there right
Zebra
now.
Zebra Technologies is the company with the chips in player shoulder pads.
Yeah.
The NHL is, you know, embracing that future, you know, where maybe there will be betting on, and this isn't happening yet, despite what you may read, there may be betting on the hardest shot taken in an NHL game. You know?
I got Shea Weber. Who you got?
Or the fastest.
PK Subban?
Darnell Nurse?
Speaking of which, last night, by the way, Barr, you're like, this was cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, I flick on the game last night, and you know, obviously I follow hockey probably closer than the others because of my son. But it didn't occur to me until one brother took a shot on the other brother that PK Subban was playing against Malcolm Subban last night.
Like, man,
imagine growing up, you know, you're always playing, and then here you are in the NHL and one brother's taking a shot against the other brother.
Give your teammates a scouting report.
Yeah,
exactly.
His weak glove side.
Yeah, doesn't move well laterally.
This is for you putting that frog in my bed, and then you know. I like that stuff, man.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, apropos of nothing other than he said that and it just sparked my thought. That's what would have happened in the bar house. Frog in my bed.
Where'd you get frog in my bed?
Mud in my boots.
Yeah, you've never played that trick?
Oh, God.
No, I mean, I had friends that would sleep over.
Here comes the bar music. Right about now is when we're inserting the special bar music.
And we would sometimes, we would catch frogs in the backyard sometimes. And sometimes we were a little naughty.
And you'd put them in the bed?
And we'd put them in the bed.
I guess it's better than snakes.
And, oh, yeah.
Or a horse head.
You won't see me touch a snake.
Look at Medina going a little Godfather on us.
Yeah, of course.
I know some references.
Of course. Excuse me.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday.
We should make her do it. The podcast available every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We should have Medina do it. I'm sorry, Evan, were you speaking?
I don't even know.
Because we already know I interrupt.
I blacked out shortly after the frog was in the bed.
Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. I like that. We got to do that, man. That's pretty good. The next topic. Now, this one is
here we go. Serious. Bar was going serious.
This is about Maryland football coach D.J. Durkin. This got a lot of people upset about this because they allowed to keep him. But we got to explain what led up to this because, remember, there was a 19-year-old who died.
Yeah, one of his players died during practice.
So,
and ESPN had a report of a toxic culture at Maryland football.
Which Maryland looked into and agreed with everything except for use of the word toxic culture.
Right. Yeah. They described it pretty much as a toxic culture without the words.
The report even admits that there was negligence in this kid's death. He didn't need to happen, but people on the field made bad choices. It led to a player dying, which, you know, is the worst possible scenario in college sports. You know, other things get more attention, but this is the worst thing that can happen.
Yes.
In my opinion, if you are an
athletic, not your opinion,
coach,
but yeah, literally, an this is not director. Your. This would, I think, we'd have a unanimous quorum here.
I mean, I'm shocked that this guy and the athletic director, both of them, are staying in their jobs. I'll read something real quick from the Board of Regents chair Jim Brady from their press conference on Tuesday. During DJ Durkin's tenure, the athletic department lacked a culture of accountability, did not provide adequate oversight of the football program, and did not provide Mr. Durkin with the tools, resources, and guidance necessary to support and educate a first-time head coach in a major conference. And those guys keep their jobs
great.
After
you're
that?
All, great, you're all out of work. Exactly. Well, it looks like we need to clean house, and yet everybody stays. What, the university president may be leaving now?
Wallace Lowe, is he still the president?
Yeah, I believe president is title. It seems as if he isn't on board with the decision. He kept referring to the Board of Regents. Well,
didn't refer to DJ Durkin by name.
Would not refer to the coach by name. Right.
Yeah. We see college scandals pop up a bunch, and it seems obvious why the wrong decision gets made, right? It's usually for money. It's harder to see the money threads here. You know, this team is not going to recruit well. They're going to be bad for a while. It seems as though boosters, if you read the news in the past couple of days, people who donate money to the athletic department don't seem all that happy either. You know, Maryland is in financial trouble. It's a little harder to see the threads where, you know, you look at Urban Meyer and what happened earlier this year. You can understand why, you know, there's a huge financial hit coming to Ohio State if Urban Meyer steps down. You don't really see the same connection here with Maryland.
What say you? I don't mean to put you on the spot, Evan, but what say Kevin Plank in all this? When I think Maryland, I think Kevin Plank. I mean, they have the apparel.
I don't know if he's commented at all. He's certainly one of the most talking about boosters and graduates who are closely aligned with the athletic department. He is kind of, you know, to Maryland what Phil Knight is to University of Oregon.
Yeah.
Maybe not as entwined business related wise, but yeah, he started in Maryland. He's based in Baltimore. We'll be interesting to see if he has anything to say. It does feel as though that we haven't heard the end of this. You know, we're hearing reports that players are walking out. Boosters are tremendously powerful in this world, and if there are enough of them who are upset, you know, who knows if this is a decision that changes a little bit moving forward, or if DJ Durkin's tenure becomes untenable.
One other thing,
the strength coach who came out of this, in my opinion, looking the worst out of all the people employed by the university, he got a $315,000 package when he left, which is, you know, 2/3 of his salary. There is maybe a case to be made that, you know, because the university and the athletic department specifically is struggling so much for money, that letting DJ Durkin go was going to be expensive. You would have to agree to some settlement. You'd need to hire a replacement.
Amazing with the findings in that report that you could not dismiss for cause.
Well, let me.
And that's it. Happens so rarely in college football. I can't even. You can count on one hand the number of coaches who have been fired for cause, not just because of the legal headache that's going to follow because of that. You know, there are athletic directors who are afraid that it's going to hurt their next hiring. You know, that a good college coach isn't going to go to a place that didn't stand up for its coach. As dumb as that sounds, that is the thinking of a lot of athletic directors.
Yes.
Let me add that. Well, first of all, the 19-year-old Jordan McNair is the one who died. His father, Marty McNair, said, quote, "I feel like I've been punched in the stomach and somebody spit in my face." So I can't imagine what they're thinking right
who can't feel for him and understand exactly what he's going through.
And how many parents out there are going to be willing to send their kids to play for this guy?
That's what I'm saying. When you think about, financial hit and, they won't get a good coach, what about the best players? If I'm the parent of a good player, how does this guy come into my living room and repeat the words he said at the McNair coffee table, "I'll take care of your son"?
Yeah.
How does he say it again? You can't.
We need to reiterate something. And yes, we all know football is a rough and tumble sport. There's no question about it. You got to prepare for it. The hits are hard. I get all of that. But it's a game. It is a game, period.
Especially at the college level.
At college,
these are not professional athletes.
This is a game.
You hear.
Yeah, I mean,
these are kids.
Yeah, it's.
And you yell at a kid, "Keep going, keep going, keep going." A coach is yelling at you, "Keep going," and there's making fun of you. You're going to keep going. You're afraid you lose your scholarship. You're afraid you lose your starting spot. You're afraid whatever. You keep going.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Yeah, and this is a Maryland school that was added to the Big Ten a number of years ago, primarily as a TV money grab. Mm-hmm. They don't even see the full amount of Big Ten money sharing until, I think, next year, maybe a year after that, even, because it was phased in. They're financially, they're leaning heavily on student fees. They're leaning heavily on the institution itself to help balance the budget. They're at the bottom money-wise in the Big Ten, essentially. It's a mess, and it's only going to get worse for a number of reasons.
This wasn't a bad idea when this was scheduled earlier, the WWE event in Saudi Arabia, and then all hell broke loose because of what happened to a reporter.
Jamal Khashoggi.
Yes, and in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Now, because of that, the WWE championship and the stars involved in this, many are dropping out.
Yeah, they're staging an event in Saudi Arabia, and amazingly, women are not allowed to go. And this was being promoted. I don't know if you saw this, Bar. They were promoting this particular Saudi Arabia event at an event here that was just for their female stars.
Yeah.
And the crowd started booing when it was put on the screen. I mean, multiple things that people are not happy about here. And then when you add all in that the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund had planned to make a $400 million investment in Endeavor, and now they're pulling out. I know different companies, but there's money from the Saudis sprinkled across sports and entertainment, and you're wondering where the conversations were with different companies. Was there planned investments? You're looking to everybody's looking to expand globally, but tough time to go stage this event in Saudi Arabia.
As we're seeing across the business world, not just in sports, the companies out there and the people out there who have over the past couple of years aligned themselves very closely with the Saudi royal family are now kind of going through this reckoning. For now, it looks like the WWE event is still going to happen. There's a big tennis event, but an exhibition between Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal in December. Both those guys are being paid, I think, $1 million to play a match down there.
Federer is skipping the event right now.
He passed on the same thing. That at least appears like it's still going to happen. Brazil and Argentina played a soccer game there, I think, in October, a couple weeks ago. The sports is kind of a vehicle for countries like that to kind of push their influence and also try to legitimize what they're doing.
It wasn't so long, Evan. I was on the phone with one of the members of the royal family who was touring the U.S., sort of getting a look at infrastructure of leagues, of teams, of facilities, meeting with folks all over the country in various sports to figure out how do we build this sort of infrastructure back at home.
Mm-hmm. And there he had a lot of money to spend.
There were going to billions of dollars in investment was going to be made inside of Saudi Arabia.
But it's Friday, the crown jewel event. And again, one superstar is dropping out. Probably one of the biggest ones, John Cena. He's not going to go to it either.
I'm waving my hand in front of my face. That's all I got for WWE. When I was young, I definitely did go to Madison Square Garden. I saw Andre the Giant. I saw the Iron Sheik. I saw Big John Studd. my favorite close but never win star, SD Special Delivery Jones.
So you guys had
Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
You guys had different superstars.
You're
going to
tell me Bruno Sammartino for you?
No, no. In Detroit, we had Bobo Brazil.
Oh, God. In Detroit, we
had. Man. Oh. It was great. We had, there were a lot of them, man. It was like Elbow McKenzie.
Never heard of.
See, anybody in Detroit knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Was that just for Detroit? That wasn't a part of like the WWE or anything?
No, no, no. This was years ago, back when wrestling was wrestling. That's the way it was back then. So, but
I have good news and bad news. You're getting a contract. The bad news, it's the Detroit WWE. You're going to get your first matches against the Elbow Guy.
Oh, man. There was so much. I don't even want to mention their certain moves because I don't. Any kids
like
listening.
Like the sleeper?
Yeah. See, don't do that.
Don't
kids.
Do the sleeper. The camel clutch?
I had a
oh boy,
a school
my,
kid.
My friend once put a frog in my bed, and I.
No, we were stupid kids, no. And somebody did the sleeper move.
Uh huh. It was like this, by the way. You gotta push from the back of the head and into the hand that's in the throat.
Yeah,
and I'll show you off air bar. Medina, record this.
No, yeah, thanks.
I tried to do that. I think when we were young, because when I grew up, it was all about like Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
There you go.
And like I think it was like the Bumblebee twins, yeah. And like all that kind of stuff.
Edmund is so left out. He has no idea what's going on, and we're all doing this.
Hacksaw
the
Jim
fabulous
Duggan.
Moolah.
I watched a lot of wrestling when I was young. I loved it. Like, you know, obviously Hulk Hogan and
Jim the Anvil, yeah, Neidhart, the Hart Foundation. Brothers.
Do you still, Medina, watch?
I don't watch, but I did go to a wrestling match at Barclays Center like about 2 summers ago. Mm. It was like the league right below the WWE. I forgot what the name was. But if it's on TV, I'll watch just for entertainment.
And does the alignment with Saudi Arabia change the way you feel about WWE at all?
Ooh, oh, boy.
Asking for opinion here. We'll get her
I'm
in trouble.
I'm not sure. I'm not don't sure. I didn't really think about it, actually. So I plead the fifth at the moment.
Did anybody ever go for the Mexicans? The Lucha Libre? The guys with the masks? Anybody?
No. That wasn't
Lucha Libre.
A little Jack Black?
I don't remember that.
What is it? Nacho Libre? Was that the name of the movie? But yeah.
Yeah, Nacho Libre.
It came from Lucha Libre, right.
Speaking of rough and tumble, anybody used to watch the old roller derby, man, back in the day?
Sure.
Yeah. Women roller derby. I used to love
Comac Arena, home of the Long Island Ducks hockey team. They had a roller derby.
Hubba Glow.
They used to
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Yes, I used to watch that a lot too.
There we go.
I'm just looking at
Eben has no idea.
Like, he I really serves feel
a
like,
thank God he serves the
I
good
really feel
data
like the second
and
half of this
purpose
was in a different language.
Because the entertainment portion, he lacks.
Okay, I want to lock this out. This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scott Soschnick and Eben Novy-Williams.
Medina, why don't you tell everybody? We're here every
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Wednesday. I screwed that one up.
It's Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, for those who really want to know, exploring the world of money and sports.
Join us again at the end of the week when we speak with the biggest and brightest in the sports business industry.
I know things.
Nice.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio, around the world and online, where podcasts are available.